So our lesson today is entitled Jesus Works, and our text is John chapter 8 verse 59 through chapter 9 verse 7, and it reads as follows. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And I certainly thank you for giving me the privilege of communicating my convictions to you. Let me begin this presentation with a bit of preliminary. The question that I would like to briefly explore before we get to the episode of Jesus and the Blind Man is, why do we come to church? Our purpose in coming to church is to get the mind of Christ, that is, to have the Word of God illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we are making a conscious effort to be informed, insightful, and intelligent about the Word of God, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, making this conscious effort to understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ is worshiping God in spirit and in truth, as Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 24, when he said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, is the divine intelligence or mind of God that created the universe and continues to regulate our environment. The Holy Spirit is the divine person who has given us the inspired written word of God, and the Holy Spirit now illuminates or gives the understanding of the word of God to those of us who wish to walk according to the dictates and doctrines of God. Now, there are other spirits or minds or intelligences in the world beside the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, in addition to the Holy Spirit, there are demonic spirits and also human spirits. We each have a spirit. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. You have a physical body and also a soul, which is the part of your mind that controls your physical functions. And you also have a spirit, which is the part of your mind that reasons and feels. Your soul is associated with your brain, which controls your body. But your spirit, that is your intelligence, reasoning, and feeling, is separate from your brain. When the physical brain dies, the spirit continues to live. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us, Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Your spirit is the part of you that differentiates you from the lower animals, which have souls but not spirits. Animals have the capacity of the soul to control their physical functions, but they do not have the spiritual intelligence to reason and feel in the way that we humans can. Our spirit, that is, our reasoning ability, is the part of us that is made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God tells us that we are made in His image and gives us dominion over His creation, not because we are bigger, stronger, or faster physically than the animals, but because we have the intellect, that is, the spirit, to reason in the same way that God can reason. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." The Holy Spirit illuminates those things that have been written and recorded in the divinely inspired written word of God to us, so that we can compare our reasoning about God to the written word of God. The comparison of what we think to what the Bible says will allow us to determine whether our thoughts are spiritual, meaning inspired by the Holy Spirit, or unspiritual, meaning inspired by some other spirit, either demonic or human. Since we know that every thought comes from some spirit, divine, demonic, or human, our purpose in coming to church is to get the mind of Christ, that is, to have the Word of God illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we are making a conscious effort to be informed, insightful, and intelligent about the Word of God, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of the 8th and the beginning of the 9th chapter of John, Jesus finds himself facing the wrath of the scribes and the Pharisees, who were incensed by Jesus' declaration of his being the I Am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 explains to us, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Now, Exodus chapter 3 tells us that I am is the personal name that God gave himself when he appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus calls himself the I Am while saying that he predated Abraham. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 56 through 58, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This statement is the equivalent of Jesus calling himself God to the ears of any devout Jew of the time. This would have been the most blatant blasphemy that anyone could utter had it not, in the case of Jesus Christ, been actually true. Since the scribes and Pharisees did not believe the truth of Jesus' claims, they took up stones to stone Jesus for being a blasphemer of the most heinous kind. Jesus, however, hid himself from them and left the scene, walking through the midst of them. John chapter 8, verse 59 through chapter 9, verse 1 tells us, "Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." Now, Jesus was obviously very secure in his ability to escape the Pharisees, though they were still in the vicinity, because he did not hurry away. As he was strolling away from danger, he stopped to examine a blind man, one born blind. Now, I'm not sure how interested I would be in helping someone if I was in the process of getting away from a group who was looking for me in order to kill me. We prayed recently for Mother Alzenia Jones, an elderly lady who teaches in the public schools, whose safety was threatened by some of her students. We were praying for her because she was hospitalized, suffering from heart problems induced by the stress of her situation. I was in her classroom speaking to her students the other day, and while her students were not unruly while I was there, they were disrespectful and disinterested in what I was saying to them. Fortunately, none of them asked me for any help as I was leaving Harry Hill that day, because there's a good possibility that they would not have received it. But I've learned from this passage of Scripture that Jesus was always working on the project given him by God, regardless of the threats of bodily harm that crossed his path. The mind of Christ tells me that I should not allow negative circumstances and situation to stop me from doing the Lord's work. But as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, I should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. As Jesus stopped to examine the blind man, his disciples questioned him. John chapter 9 verse 2 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? An interesting question. I hope that you are familiar with the premise of the book of Job. Job, an upright man, finds himself as the baseball in a game between God and the devil. In the first two chapters of the book, after being given the permission of God, Satan afflicts Job with the loss of his livelihood and his health. Chapters 2 through 37 of the book record the argument between Job and his three friends that try to get Job to confess the great sin that they think he must have done to receive this treatment from God. God vindicates Job at the end of the book, informing Job's friends that their accusations of Job's sinfulness were incorrect. It is necessary that we understand that the problems of life are not necessarily the result of our personal sin. If all problems were the result of our sin, there would be no such thing as innocent bystanders. Jesus makes the point that some people are afflicted for the same reason that Job was afflicted, that is, that the works of God may be done on the earth. John chapter 9 verse 3 tells us, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Of course, our problems in life can be the result of our sin. A few weeks ago, a brother that was here made a statement about obtaining a divorce when in an unsatisfying marriage. He says, I know that God does not want us to be unhappy in our marriages. Well, I doubt that brother received that revelation directly from God, because the evidence of the scriptures is just the opposite. God says in Malachi 2 that he hates divorce. God is not at all interested in your achievement of your desire if your desire is to go outside of his plan. In some cases, creating unhappiness in our lives is God's method of motivation to make us change our behavior. Hebrews 12 verse 5 through 11 tells us, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So now in verse 6 of Hebrews 12, God tells us that we will be disciplined, even scourged, as part of our Christian growth. Verse 11 tells us that the scourging will be painful. Thank God for every enjoyable experience that you have, because your situation may change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do not think for a moment that your major purpose here is to enjoy life. We need to maintain the perspective that we are here to do God's work and mature in the process, as Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now the blind man was born on this planet sent here by God to wait in blindness from his birth until Jesus showed up, in order that Jesus might have a man blind from birth to heal on this particular day. He is the potter, we are the clay. Remember the fact that we all belong to God, and when negative statements befall us, we should never ask, why me? God's answer to you might well be, why not you? You are mine, and I can do with you as I please. Our best chance to be able to deal with various adverse situations in which we may find ourselves is to do all that we can to get the mind of Christ. Jesus' relationship with God was such that Jesus knew what he was being called to do, and he was able even to do it in an environment of grave danger. We need to develop a relationship with the Lord such that we can walk with confidence even through the valley of the shadow of death, as David says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, I feel somewhat bolder after having analyzed this passage of Scripture, and will continue in prayer that I might develop a deeper relationship with God, which will give me clarity on a daily basis as to what the Lord would have me do. But now let me ask you a question about the disciples' query in John chapter 9, verse 2. What difference did the answer to the disciples' question make to the blind man? Did Jesus' answer of the question help to solve the blind man's lack of vision? If a person is in trouble and in need of rescue, should you interrogate them about the trivia in their situation before you help them or after? A person thrown from a car in an accident needs medical attention, not an interrogation as to whether or not they knew that there were seatbelts in the car. Our culture has an unhealthy preoccupation with why things happen. I was listening to Rush the other day, and he was talking about a psychological syndrome that somebody discovered. The symptom of the syndrome is that the person is unable to function in social situations, although they are perfectly able to function in work situations. According to the article that was being read, the syndrome is the result of a chemical deficiency in the brain. There is no treatment at this time for the syndrome, so the people that have it just have to live with it. Now, how valuable is it for you to know that you have a problem about which nothing can be done? It is worse than useless. Of course, there are very few problems about which nothing can be done. Although there may be no chemical fix for the problem, a person might be able to overcome their ability to function and serve in the kingdom of God by the sheer force of will. If you don't know how to make small talk, learn small talk questions. If you find yourself forgetting the questions, get an armband like the pro quarterbacks wear on their arm with a list of plays to be run. Write your small talk questions on the armband and then read them to those with whom you wish to make small talk so that you don't have to remember the questions. It is better to try to do something about the problem than to simply know that there is nothing that you can do. The difference between the disciples and Jesus is that the disciples did not intend to do anything about the blind man except talk about him. We ask idle questions about people and discuss their problems whether we cannot or do not intend to do anything about their problems. Maybe we as Christians should drop the idle questions and concentrate on developing resources to fix the problems of our society. When we are tempted to complain about the deficiencies of our society, we should use that breath to plan or implement whatever we can do to help. The disciples' question should not have been, "Why is he blind?" but, "Is there anything that we can do to help him?" Jesus, of course, had both the answer to the disciples' questions and the solution to the blind man's problems. John chapter 9, verse 3 through 7 tells us, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now Jesus's focus was not on the question from the disciples. Jesus's focus was on his work. Jesus said, I must work. Jesus's work was the restoration of the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 and 15 tells us, Now when John had been put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The healing of all manner of sickness and disease was the work that God gave Jesus in order to usher in the kingdom of God. Psalm 103 verse 2 tells us, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives you all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23 and 24 says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went all throughout Syria, and they brought to him sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Mark chapter 1, verse 32 through 34 says, And in evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Luke chapter 4 verse 40 and 41 says, When the sun was setting, all those that had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The demons also came out of many, crying out, saying, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So even as Jesus was fleeing a hostile mob, he stopped to heal infirmity where he saw it. His focus in every situation was the restoration of the kingdom of God by healing the hurts of humanity. Jesus healed the blind man because that was his work given him by God. While it is wonderful that I have been blessed to have this little storefront on the block, and I thank God for you few individuals that have come to allow me to practice my sermonic presentations on you, what I really need to do is to work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. That is God's charge to all of us. We do not all have the gift of healing as Jesus had, but we all have a gift of some description from the Holy Spirit. What is your gift? How can you use it to further the kingdom of God? Are you willing to do so? Romans chapter 12 verse 3 through 21 gives us the formula. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us uphold the work of the Lord by doing that which we are called to do whenever we are called to do it, and that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, who was always working on his program that you had given him. Help us to be diligent, Lord, that in all circumstances and in all situations, we will find ourselves working as you have commissioned us to work. Help us to work the work that you have given us while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Now, Lord, we pray traveling mercies for all who are in the place today. We pray your blessings on them, and we ask you, Lord, to bring them back again safely at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for just letting us come out to church today. We thank you for this enjoyable time that we've had, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would be with us in those prayer requests that we have discussed. We ask you that you would safeguard Eric Betts over in Japan, and that you would help Brian to have his business go well down in St. Louis. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help Rick to make it home from wherever he may happen to be. And we're in prayer for Sister Allen and for her family, for those who don't know you in the pardon of their sins, for those who are still in this life and are working out the problems of life. We ask you, Lord, that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that you would just do something to their minds, that they might be able to recognize and realize that although the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life, that it comes through Jesus Christ, and help them to realize that. Lord, we pray for her health situation. We ask you that you would help her to recuperate from those shots well, and let those things, as they become part of her routine, help her, Lord, to help them to be beneficial to her. We pray for their business, Lord, and we ask you that you would give them a response from the middle school that's turning into a uniform place, that they might be able to gain that business and help themselves economically as they endeavor to grow in their business. Lord, we pray for Brian Hayes, who happens to be in Iraq right now. We thank you, Lord, that he is in a place that is not the most heated place in the country of Iraq, that is, Lord. And we ask you that you would safeguard him, put your hedge of protection around him, and if anyone should fire a shot at him, let something happen to it. And if it has to hit him, let it hit him in some place that's covered with armor so that it does not injure him. Bring him back safely at the appointed time, when his time is up. We pray for Sister Winston, and we pray for their business, Lord. We ask you to bless them and help them to get all of their physical plant straight, let them get their kitchen inspected and have it working properly. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would help them to expand their menu as they plan to do, and just give them that which they need to make that business prosperous as they go on. Lord, we pray for Brother Rodriguez, and we ask you that you would bless his family here in Lansing, help them to get any problems that they may have in their house together and bring him back home, that he might be able to do those things that are required to keep his family in good shape. Lord, we pray for Paul as he works on his new projects in Grand Rapids. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless him, that you would give him good customers, that you would help his processes to work well, that his customers might advertise for him by word of mouth, and that they might recognize that he has a great product, and that he can help their businesses and help them to patronize and to pay on time and to do all those things, that he might have a great business in Grand Rapids. Lord, we pray for Mother Jones. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless her and bless those children whom she has in her charge. And we ask, Lord, that you would do something to their minds. Let someone speak to them who can get through to them somehow. Let something happen that they might be able to actually understand the things that they're being taught, that they might be able to become profitable citizens, not just those who are just on the corners doing nothing, but those who have jobs and are gainfully employed and are raising good families. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would bless those children. Now, Lord, we pray for Mary, for Mehdi, and for Tracy, and we ask you to bless them, Lord, and down in the southern part of the country. And we thank you, Lord, for the praise report for my wife, who's doing much better. I just thank you, Lord, that you allowed her procedure to be a routine procedure and allowed our healing process to go well and to go swiftly. Safeguard her, Lord, as she goes from place to place, and keep her from too much overexertion, that she might not relapse back into a problem. We pray for Evangelist Betty Carter Cooney, and we ask you to bless our television show this coming Tuesday. And we're praying for Gwendolyn Long and asking you to continue to strengthen her as she comes back. Bless John and Debbie Conroy, Lord, and we ask you to work with Sister Conroy's knee, that she might be able to flex it and go back to her active lifestyle that she had before she was injured. Lord, we ask you that you would bless Demetri and Coretta and their child that is coming. We ask you to make the baby strong and healthy, and help them, Lord, that they might be able to love one another as they raise that child. For Gary and Carolyn Cooper as well, Lord, bless their marriage. We pray for the television station. Let them stay on the air and help them to do well technically. We pray for the Forgotten Man Ministry and bless them all that they need as well. Lord, we pray for those soldiers who are overseas, wherever they may happen to be in the world, that are safeguarding our status here. And we ask you, Lord, that those few who have decided not to act right, Lord, we ask you that you would give them intelligence, help their commanders to be more diligent about supervising the troops and to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, that we might not have a bad reputation among those countries over there. Lord, we pray for our president as he puts forward the federal marriage amendment. And we ask you, Lord, that you would allow those legislators in Massachusetts to develop some methodology to stop gay marriage, that you would help them to figure out how that they might do that, and that you would also give our president, as he goes forward with his plan to stop it everywhere, strength in that endeavor. But we pray for the people in our neighborhood that need our help, and we ask you to bless our plans to do something for them this summer. Help us, Lord, as we develop a plan to perform some kind of a summer camp here, that we might be able to take some young man or some young woman off the streets and orient them in the right direction and help them come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" We pray for the salvation of our families and friends, Lord, and we ask you that you would bless us, anyone that's in the circle that has a loved one that does not know you. We ask you, Lord, that you would help something happen to them that would cause them to fall out with the wicked ways of this world and come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" We pray for Sister Smith, Lord, as she and her sisters are having a little trouble, Lord, and we ask you that you would pour oil on the waters, that it might smooth out, that they might be able to see one other points of view, that they might be able to get together and allow their blood relations, Lord, to keep them together rather than driving them apart. And we pray as well for Brother Boniface, Lord, and we thank you for having him come today, and we just ask you, Lord, to bless him in whatever capacity that he needs. Give him that which he needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and we thank you for his attendance today. Now, Lord, we prayed for the list, and we want to pray now for all who are in the circle. Bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Help us, Lord, to do as you would have us to do, and bless us as we go down from this place. We pray that you would help the McClures as they are raising those children, to raise them in the way that they should go, that when they get old, they would not depart from it, Lord. Lord, we pray for Brother Boniface, as we have already prayed, and we pray for Sister Janet. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless her in her situation. For Sister Betty Allen, Lord, we just ask you that you would help her to recover from her situation. We pray for Sister Smith, Lord, and we ask you that you would help her as well, Lord, guide and direct her as she interacts with her sisters. I pray for my son, Lord, bless his business, and I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. Bring her back to full strength and help us to have a glorious time as we travel around the country. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you for all these things. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank God and praise God. Let us remember as we go down from this place, the work that Jesus did with the blind man at the pool of Bethesda. Let us remember that we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. And our night is coming, and we ought to be on the case doing that which we can do while we have the time. Let us remember the diligence of Jesus Christ even in the face of danger, and help, and let us be diligent to be on his program as well as the trials and tribulations of life befall us. Let us remember his example and let us emulate his example. Let us remember him even as he gave his life on the cross and died that we might have a right to the tree of life. Let us remember what Jesus did as we eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.